Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, brought to you by the congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church that meets at 2970 Baird Road in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today a message that seeks to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and His glorious person and finished work of salvation accomplished for sinners at the cross. Please stay tuned.
My text today is taken from Luke chapter 8, and I want to read for you in this portion concerning the deliverance of a demoniac. And I'll begin reading with verse 26, where it says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus." Now here's the important verse. "And found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." I want to speak with you today on this subject of true deliverance. Certainly here is a portion of Scripture that is a very testimony of God Himself concerning a sinner that was truly delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it's important to define what is true deliverance. You hear many today talking about being delivered from poverty or sickness or life's problems. This is the call of different congregations and organizations and preachers and witnesses to come and be delivered. The message of these is whatever your ailment, whatever your predicament in life, whatever your troubles, just come believing that you can be delivered, and you will. The message is one of temporal deliverance, and yet I wonder how many actually are made to see that their greatest need or greatest disability is not physical and is not mental or material, but spiritual. This was the message of the prophet Isaiah back in his day to the nation of Israel. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 2 down to verse 9. Listen as I read this. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel. unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burnt with fire, your land strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Can you see from that reading, dear friend, what is the real issue and our need before a holy and just God? This describes any one of us, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. And when I say that, I must include myself, because I am a sinner, just like you are, just like any that are out there. And the Lord has to cause us to see that we are no better than anyone else. There's this idea that whenever the scriptures speak of sin, it's always talking about somebody else. But the Spirit of God never convicts you of someone else's sin. If the Spirit of God is at work in your heart, He is showing you your sinfulness before a holy God. As it says in verse 6, from the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it. That pretty much describes this demoniac that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered. And so we live in this fallen world of wickedness, being fallen creatures ourselves. So where is the hope? Well, verse 9 of Isaiah 1 tells us, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, an evil city that the Lord destroyed, and yet spared only Lot and his two daughters. And so even over here in Luke chapter 8, as you can see in this story, it was a perverse generation in which our Lord Jesus Christ came, and He testified before men, and yet they were hardened. They were unbelieving. And yet there was this one demoniac that the Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver. And there were many others in that city. You might say, well, they stood in need of deliverance as well. And yet when the Lord had finished delivering this one, those that came and saw what He had done, they besought Him to leave. They were not interested in the same deliverance for themselves. They didn't see themselves in need of deliverance. But this one was made to see his need, and it was for him that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. Such is the remnant, as mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9, except the Lord had preserved himself a remnant. There is, dear friend, a remnant according to the election of grace, is what we read in the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come for such. So here in my text, in Luke chapter 8, we find one who was desperate, he was needy, and he was condemned, and he certainly could not deliver himself, nor could any that were around him even tame him with all their efforts to deliver him. And yet, when the Lord Jesus Christ passed his way, in the end we find him, as it says there in verse 35, sitting, fully clothed, and in his right mind. Such is the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sitting, what is that a picture of? Well, that's a picture of rest. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, it says, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's the picture that we have here of this one being delivered. All that bound him, all that caused him to cut himself and wound himself and live in the caves where there is a picture of death, being dead in sins. All of this the Lord took him from and caused him to rest. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 25, we see our Lord Jesus Christ praying to his Father. And it says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Here's a point that causes many to rebel. And yet, the truth is, dear friends, that God is distinctive in his grace, just like he was with this demoniac of the Gadarenes. There were many others who were under the same bondage. Maybe it wasn't manifest outwardly in the same way with his running in the caves and cutting himself and crying out. And yet they were under the same spiritual darkness and bondage and gave no thought of it. And yet the Lord made a difference. He came for this one. And the rest he left in their blindness. In Christ's day, as he went about preaching, in the same portion in Matthew chapter 11, he pronounces judgment on those cities all throughout Israel and condemns them for their blindness, for not seeing his glory, who he is as the very Son of God and the Savior. But he's not lamenting their hardness and blindness. He simply says, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent." If there's anybody that thinks themselves wise or prudent before God or somewhat, there is an evidence that they are left to their blindness and their darkness. Christ thanked the Father because he says, "Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent." But notice, "has revealed them unto babes." You stop and think about what a babe is. A little babe in arms, unable to do anything for itself, depending entirely upon another for their sustenance. Such is our state before a holy God. But this is the work of Christ. He came in this world in order to take such and to bring them to himself and deliver them. In verse 26 of Matthew 11, we read, "Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." When someone asks me, "Well, how does God make a distinction?" My answer is simply, "However is good in his sight." Wonder of wonders that he should ever have set his affection or love upon such as I am. I don't wonder that he leaves sinners to themselves. The wonder is the wonder of grace, that he would actually be pleased to deliver one such as I. And that's what Christ says here in Matthew 11 and verse 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." You see, even for this demoniac in Luke chapter 8, as people tried to tame him and restrain him, and perhaps it's like today, a lot of problems are being defined as psychological or mental type illnesses. And yet here we can see the very problem was possession of Satan himself, of the devil himself. And such is our estate before God until it pleases God to reveal Christ in any one of us. And when Christ is revealed, then it causes that sinner to cry out and to manifest that they are lost, that they are undone. And beseeching the mercy of God. And so we see that in this text. It's the Lord that is sovereign here. Christ is not waiting for the sinner to respond or to come to him. No, we see in this narrative that it is Christ that came to this demoniac. And it says in verse 28 of Luke 8, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. And with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. And the reason that this demoniac was even brought to bow before the Lord, it says in verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. He had commanded. See, that's God's sovereignty revealed in his Son. And that's why Christ says here in Matthew 11:27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You might say, well, that's not fair. How come he doesn't reveal himself to everybody? Well, it's because salvation is not a right. You see, when Adam fell, we all fell in him. And our just end is God's condemnation. We're not only fallen creatures because of who we are in Adam, but we're fallen in our own nature, and we're fallen in our practice. We prove our worthiness of condemnation by our sin. And so it takes God in his grace. That's what grace is. It's not a right. God in his grace revealing Christ to whom he will. That's the sovereign Savior. But here is the command when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, why doesn't everybody come? Well, because they're not heavy laden. They still think themselves somewhat. They're proud of their works. They're proud of their will. You hear people talking like this. They think they have somewhat to offer to God. They've not heard the voice of Christ. Those that have heard the voice of Christ, just like this demoniac, heard the voice of Christ. It says, when he saw Jesus, in Luke 8:28, well, how did he see Jesus when the others didn't? He was given eyes to see. He cried out. See, all of this is the fruit or the result of Christ himself drawing such a one. But he says, come unto me. And that's where this demoniac came. And he said, I will give you rest. That's why we find him sitting. And this is where we find the demoniac, just like any that the Spirit of Christ draws. They will be found resting, sitting at Christ's feet, imploring his grace and mercy, entreating him to receive and save him. And even resolving that if we perish, we will perish there. See, that's what true submission to Christ is in his grace. It's not coming negotiating that if God will do this and I'll do this, I promise to be better and all of these things that you hear men talking about. No. This coming to him and sitting and resting is to be completely shut up to God's grace and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke was placed upon a servant. And Christ says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, he's the master. We're nothing. He's all. And he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, that's the true rest, dear friends. That's the true deliverance. It's not just material or physical, but it's a rest of the soul. And we see in this story of the demoniac that rest of his soul. Because as you read on in this narrative in Luke chapter 8, in verse 37, it said, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. See, that was the reaction of those left to themselves. Just like today, I find when I preach this sovereign Savior, sovereign Lord, the one in whom is salvation alone, and apart from whom there is no salvation, that is only by his blood and righteousness that God saves sinners, people get offended. They'll chase you, the preacher, away, but they're really saying to this Lord, revealed here in the Scriptures, that we want nothing of Him. It says they were taken with great fear. And so it says the Lord went up into the ship and returned back again. But now here's the change of soul, the deliverance of soul, the rest of soul that we find in this demoniac, because in Luke 8 and verse 38 it says, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him." He's no longer thinking of going and running back in those tombs and going back to that life that he had lived to this point. No. But he besought the Lord that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." See, that's the testimony of a true sinner saved by grace. It's not what I've done. But return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Now here's the change. This one now, delivered of the Lord, it says he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. That's the only testimony any of us have whom the Lord has delivered. It's not what we have done, but it's what he has done. And so that resting at his feet is the result of Christ having done the work. And this is the result of what he has done in coming into this world and living a life of obedience before his Father and laying down his life in that sacrificial death to pay the sin debt. See, that's what he would do for this demoniac. He would pay his sin debt before it was all said and done, that such a one might be justified before God, acquitted, pardoned, reconciled, adopted, and have that true hope of glory. Ah, what rest there is when Christ has done the work. So we find him sitting, but secondly, it says fully clothed. So here's a picture now of righteousness, true righteousness. Sitting, his rest, fully clothed, righteousness. Whereas before he was naked. In other words, he had nothing that could commend him before God. But when Christ had finished with him, now we find him sitting and fully clothed. You say, well, where did he get the clothing? Well, it must have been given by Christ himself. And such is the righteousness of God. It's not anything that we have. Outside of Christ, we have no righteousness. But through the work of Christ and what he has accomplished in his life and in his death, upon completion of that work in laying down his life, so complete and satisfactory was that work of Christ on behalf of his people that God once for all declared righteous everyone for whom he died. That's what it means to be fully clothed, not having our own righteousness. Our own is nothing but filthy rags, just like this man that was naked, but the righteousness of God in Christ. Paul describes it in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. He said, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." In other words, by our endeavors to keep the law. "But that which is through the faith of Christ." Notice, it's not faith in Christ, but the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ as the substitute, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Whereas this demoniac before was naked, just like us, without a righteousness, or with nothing better than filthy rags, he's now clothed, and such is our clothing in Christ. It's with the robe of righteousness, the garments of salvation, as the Scriptures describe those garments in Revelation as fine linen, clean and white. It is the righteousness of God that he has attributed to the saints, the justified ones, the ones that Christ has redeemed. And it has been imputed to such as we are by the Father, when Christ died, but it's revealed in the gospel, and it's brought near by the Spirit and received by faith. See, it's not when you believe that you're justified, but your believing is an evidence and a fruit that when Christ died, you were justified. You see, all of our justification before God is in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's what it is to be fully clothed in Him. And certainly, this is not just something we find in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, the prophet declared, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Oh, dear friends, such a righteousness cannot be found in us or given us by any human being. It comes solely through the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came, lived, died, and rose again, ascended on high. And because of His faithful work, God declares righteous those that He represents. So sitting, picture of rest, fully clothed, a picture of righteousness. But finally, here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 35, we find that He was in His right mind. And here is the third R of this particular message, and that is renewed. Such is the work of Christ, that those for whom He has paid the debt, they rest in Him, their righteousness is in Him, and their renewing is of Him. To be in a right mind, just like the prodigal son, it says that he came to himself. That was the Spirit of God working to cause him to come back to his Father. It is to be made sensible of our own sin, and certainly this demoniac was. In fact, when he was caused to cry out, it was a plea not to be destroyed. He knew that the Lord Jesus had within his power either to save him or destroy him. And so a mind renewed acknowledges that authority given to Christ. And yet, to have a mind renewed is to be brought to Christ in repentance. Everything we see about this demoniac is that he was repentant, knowing his lost state and condition, and knowing, made to know, his need of Christ and need of salvation by Him. So in every way, spiritually made alive, and therefore came to Christ. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 5 and 6, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." And how is that salvation manifest? It says, "By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." It is the fruit, is the effect of Christ's work that any of us, by the Spirit of God now, are made alive, we who were spiritually dead, and our minds renewed. And being in a sound mind, we no longer look to any works of the flesh, but look to Christ alone. I wonder, dear friend, as I've given you these thoughts, is this a change from dead works to serve the true and living God that God has graciously afforded you? Oh, to be able to rejoice with Isaiah the prophet and with this demoniac in saying, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." May God be merciful and gracious to our souls to be able to enter in, even as this demoniac was caused to enter in, to the rest that is in Christ Jesus alone.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. please plan to join us again next week.